Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
During my 3 years of ministerial training, we lived in Kentucky, where I attended Asbury Theological Seminary. Now, Kentucky is a beautiful state, with its bluegrass and its horse farms and its hills and hollers. And we would often take day trips to visit some of the Kentucky's many attractions on weekends. We would do that. And one of the most memorable trips we took was to the southern part of the state, where we went down into caves there. And on this occasion, about a dozen of us accompanied a guide deep underground, where you could see those things they call stalagmites. They're the ones that stand on the ground, and the stalagmites, I think they're the ones that hang from the ceiling. And it was just an awesome sight. And then the guide said to us, "I'm going to turn off the lights. So you need to put a hand on the railing in front of you or grab a loved one next to you." And then the lights went out. And never, never have I experienced such absolute and total darkness. I mean, it was eerie. Your balance was affected. There was a sense of lostness that enveloped you. And we certainly did hang on to each other and to the railing in front of us. And then our guide turned on a very small pen light, and every eye went to that light. And what a welcome sight it was. It just, all of a sudden, it seemed that the lost was found. And it was awesome. You know, darkness is an ominous thing. Darkness baffles us, and it confuses us. And it disorients us, and I believe that's because we are children of the light. Hundreds of years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah had these words to say, speaking of the coming of the Christ. "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." And then hundreds of years passed, and it happened, and disciple and author John opens his gospel with these words: "The Word," referring to Jesus, "gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Two chapters later, now, same author, John records Jesus meeting with the Pharisee Nicodemus, and Jesus tells him, he says to him, "God's light," and he's speaking of himself, "came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." And then later still, same author, John, in one of his letters, writes these words: "But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." There's no question that we are to be children of the light. Now, the main scripture that we're looking at today is found in Ephesians 4, as I mentioned, but we're not going to deal with the whole chapter, but beginning at verse 17 through verse 32. And I've chosen as my sermon title, you'll see it on the screen there, I've taken that title from the title that the translators of the New Living Translation, they give this title to those verses, simply "Living as Children of Light," and that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning. Now let me read it to you. Verse 17, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former ways of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And then he gets specific. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Now, if living as children of light is so very critical for you and for me, I think we need to take a closer look at just what that means and how we do that in this passage. So let's begin for the first few minutes by looking at what I'm simply going to refer to as the dark side. Because if we are going to live as children of light, you must first understand this. And I have six things to say to you, three about living in the darkness and three about living in the light. Here's the first statement. Living in darkness involves avoiding, ignoring, or shunning the light. It involves avoiding, ignoring, or shunning the light. And I take you to verse 18. Speaking of those who live in the darkness, Paul says this, they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. Now, what I want you to understand is this. Closing your mind and hardening your heart isn't so much something you do as it is something you don't do. Stay with me now. Living in darkness involves avoiding. It involves ignoring. It involves shunning the light. And you can avoid or ignore or shun something and do nothing. Let me spell it out for you. You can be facing some choice in your life that involves walking in the light. Okay, something that you just feel impressed, something you should do. It's the right thing to do. Maybe it's mending a broken or a damaged relationship in your life. Maybe it's making an apology to someone where you've misspoke and you think about that and you know you should make that apology. Maybe it's finally committing yourself to getting involved in CR and deal with some unhealthy habit in your life. Maybe it's an errant thought life that finds you entertaining thoughts of lust or envy or criticism or thoughts about getting even, revenge. But rather than deal with the issue, rather than walk in the light, rather than act, you choose to do nothing. You avoid, you ignore, you delay, you deny. Do you see it? you can make no choice and you're choosing the darkness by default. Rarely have I ever witnessed someone making a conscious choice of turning and walking into the darkness. And 41 years of pastoring, rarely have I ever seen that. But if you ignore the light, it's impressed on you what you should do, ought to do. If you ignore the light again and again, it gets darker where you are. It does. After all, darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. In April of 1999, Auschwitz survivor Eli Weisel delivered a speech to then U.S. President Clinton and members of the Congress. The world-renowned humanitarian and author of 57 books chose as his topic that day the perils of indifference. And he said, part of his speech, "What is indifference? The word means no difference. A strange and unnatural state in which the lines blur between light and darkness, dusk and dawn, crime and punishment, cruelty and compassion, good and evil." And my word to you this morning, my first word is this: be careful of indifference. Be careful of resisting or ignoring the light, because when you do that, you are turning towards the darkness. So not only does living in darkness involve avoiding, ignoring, and shunning the light, living in darkness, the second thing I have you notice about this is that living in darkness morphs into a mindless gradual drift into total darkness. And it can happen so very subtly. Verse 18 says, "Their minds were full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives." Those who live in the darkness and end up, as the scripture says, full of darkness, it was because, according to the word here, as you see it, they wander. Now, you know about wandering. When you wander, you're not headed much of any place. You're just wandering back and forth and here and there, and you sort of drift away from the light. You see it? It's a gradual thing. It's a subtle thing. When we were kids on summer evenings, we would gather 6 to 8 of us at a local ball field and play baseball until dark. But you know how it is. Darkness comes very gradually. And we always wanted, we'd finish an inning and someone of the 8 would always say, "Let's play one more inning." And the moment of truth would often arrive when a batter would hit the ball and the fielders wouldn't move. And the reason they wouldn't move is because they never saw the ball. And the game would abruptly end at that very moment. Well, what moment am I talking about? The moment that we realized, oh my goodness, it's too dark to play, we can't see. And that moment, even though it came gradual, that moment was always a surprise because of the subtle, gradual, mindless drift. It's a dark, dark world. And understand this, children of the light. It's a dark world, and any ignoring of God's nudgings to walk in the light, you tracking with me? Any ignoring of God's nudging to walk in the light is permitting a gradual drift towards the darkness. Listen to me, children of light. Darkness can sneak up on you if you're not careful. And you can end up, if you're not careful, in a dark place and wonder how. I've had more people say to me that over all these years of ministry. "Pastor John, I don't know how I ended up here." So living in the darkness involves avoiding, ignoring, shunning the light. It involves living in the darkness morphs into a mindless, gradual drift into total darkness. Here's the third thing I want to say, and we'll be done with the dark side. Living in the darkness results in an inability to discern the light at all. Paul refers to those living in darkness as, verse 18, hopelessly confused. Verse 19, no sense of shame. In his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul is addressing this same subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it's on the screen in front of you. Satan, who is the God, notice small g, there's only one God. Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. See what that's saying? The light is right there, but they can't see it. Pastor and author Brian Chappell tells this story. He said, I was with a group of pastors, and one talked about an elder in his church. The pastor said, even now, I can hardly believe the way he talks to me. He's taken up living with another woman other than his wife. She's younger, she's prettier. And the pastor said, I sat across the table from that elder, a man who was just recently talking about his desire to pursue professional ministry, and he looked at me with unblinking eyes and said, I've never felt more alive. He was unable to see the light. He has, verse 18, closed his mind, hardened his heart. You ever wonder how can that happen? How can that happen to a believer? He ignored the light he clearly saw. He ignored the path that he should take, and then the mindless drift, little by little, choices made over and over, an almost innocent comment to that woman, a not quite so innocent glance, a not at all innocent thought, and repetitive sins keep numbing us more and more until the mind is cloudy, and then there is no spiritual blood going to our brain until we are, in Paul's words, hopelessly confused. No sense of shame. What is that? No sense of shame. No sense of shame simply means we have an inability to tell the difference between good and evil. There's an old proverb that says, in the dark, all cats are gray. Well, that's enough talk about living in darkness. Now we come to verse 20. The first word in verse 20, what is it? When you see Paul's butt, let's rephrase that maybe. When Paul uses his butt, no, that's no better. When Paul butts, it's a good thing always. Okay, he's been talking about living in darkness and how it sneaks up on us and how subtle it is. Verse 20, but that isn't what you learned about Christ, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. He's saying there that living, walking in darkness is not for you. You were not made for that. You were not born for that, and you can never be fulfilled by whatever you find in the darkness. And look at verse 20. 30, I mean. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Paul is saying, but living in darkness is not God's plan for you. Beware. I can't say it stronger than that. I just caution you, children of the light. Beware, Satan will try to trick you. He'll try to deceive you. He'll gradually lead you into the dark, if he can, and make you think all the time that you're heading towards the dark, that you're heading towards the light. Wake up and take his hand. Many years ago, King George VI of England addressed the entire British Commonwealth on the radio on New Year's Eve during a moment in history when the whole world stood on the brink of uncertainty. Despondency and uncertainty filled the air, and the king's own body was racked with cancer. Before that year was out, his life ended. And unaware of his own physical maladies, he uttered these memorable words. I said to the man at the gate of the ear, give me a light that I might walk safely into the unknown. And he said to me, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God, and it shall be to you safer than the light and better than the unknown. God is as close as the next choice you make. Now here are my three statements about living in the light. And here's the first. Living in the light is initially an overarching, deliberate choice. You never naturally drift into the light. It doesn't happen. Look at verse 22 and verse 24. They call us to act decisively, immediately. Verse 22 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Hear me now. Living in darkness just happens. And it because it involves doing nothing. It involves ignoring and avoiding and shunning the light. But living in the light never just happens. It means living in the light means doing something. I won't allow this any longer. I repent, and by God's help, I will change. I will throw off these things. I will put on. You see, we are born in sin. You know that. And that means we are born with a bent to do the wrong thing. So it's natural for us to drift into the darkness, but it's supernatural to say, oh God, help me to be what you've created me to be. So living in the light involves a conscious choice. I will throw off these sins. I will put on this new nature. And then Paul gets specific. He gets specific here. And he begins to name names, and he gives us a partial list of things we must put off. Because you see, here's my next statement about living in the light. Living in the light also involves many subsequent specific choices. And then here comes Paul's list. Verse 25, stop telling lies, he says. Tell the truth. Oh, Pastor John, really? We don't lie, do we? Well, we've redefined this one to please ourselves these days. Pre-cell phone days, it was a common thing to say, the phone would ring. I've done this myself. The phone would ring, and on my way out of the room, I would say, if that's for me and not here. But listen to me, any time our intention is to deceive or give the wrong impression, or when we exaggerate, it's a lie. You know, I don't think this sermon is going to make anyone's favorite sermon all summer list. Look at verse 26. Don't sin by letting anger control you. You'd even get specific. Don't let the sun go down while you're settle things before the sun sets. That's a good one for us husbands and wives. Verse 28, quit stealing. Sounds like he's making a reference there to in the workplace. Seems to me that implies that if we don't put in an hour's wage for an hour's work, we're stealing. Verse 29, don't use foul and abusive language. Let what you say be good and wholesome. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Be kind. And then Paul sums up all the other 3,000 plus possible sins with these words, still in verse 31, and he says, and as well, get rid as well of all types of evil behavior. Now, I remind you now in the words of E. Stanley Jones, this quote is on the screen, every moment, therefore, we shall be tempted. But temptation is not a sin. It is only when we yield that it becomes sin. You cannot help the birds flying over your head, but you can help them building nests in your hair. You cannot help the suggestion of evil coming, but you can help holding it, harboring it, and allowing it to rest in your mind until it hatches its brood. dismissed at once, it leaves no stain. Thoughts of evil become evil thoughts only when we invite them in, offer them a chair, and entertain them. Understand this. Understand this. Before you became a child of God, before you repented and put your trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, you were not able not to sin. But now, you are able not to sin. You can throw off these sins. Yes, you can. I know I shouldn't use the word good and Satan in the same sentence, but I need to tell you, Satan is so very good at what he does. So very good at it. For example, and I come back to this sin that we've already looked at in that errant sinful pastor who sinned against his spouse. This is the only sin that's mentioned twice in this list, in this passage, lust and what it leads to. Our culture today is convinced. The sad thing is that much of the church world is half convinced of this, convinced that the sexually promiscuous people experience the greatest fulfillment. But it's a lie. Secular surveys of sexuality in our culture say that those with monogamous, faithful marriages claim greater sexual fulfillment than those who are promiscuous. God knows that. He made us. He knows what makes us tick. Choose His way. Live in the light. You can, you know. And here's the last statement I would make about living in the light. Here it is. Living in the light is possible only as we submit to the indwelling, enabling Holy Spirit. Verse 23, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Maybe there's someone listening to my voice this morning. You're saying, Pastor John, I've tried and I failed over and over again. It's hopeless. I can't do it. I give up. Well, good for you. Because when you come to the place where you can say, I give up, I cannot do it, you are a prime candidate to say, I let the Spirit now renew my thoughts and attitudes. Let Him have control. He can do it in you. On February the 24th, 2001, a one-year-old Canadian girl named Erica somehow wandered out of her mother's bed and house and spent the entire night in an Edmonton winter. I don't know if you've ever been to Edmonton in the winter or not. My last visit out there, I spent 7 days. The temperature never went above minus 25, even in the daytime. Then the mother, Leela Norby, found her. Erica appeared to be totally frozen. Her legs were stiff, her body frozen, and all signs of life seemed to be gone from the child. She was taken to Edmonton Stollery Children's Health Center, and miraculously, life returned to her body. To the amazement of all, there appeared to be no sign of brain damage, and the doctor gave Erica a clear prognosis, saying that she would soon be able to hop and skip and play like the other girls her age. Now you listen to me. No matter how far or how often you have wandered away from the Father's house, no matter how hard your heart, no matter if your spiritual body is as lifeless as little Erica's, the Spirit specializes in things thought impossible. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Walk in the light. The Father has such great plans for you and me. Years ago, a missionary made his way to a remote and isolated village in Persia, now present-day Iran. And as he was telling them about Jesus, a man in the crowd interrupted him as he explained what Jesus was like, and the man said, "I know who you're talking about. That's Dr. Browning. He comes and visits our village." And that's the plan. That's the only plan God has. As we let the Spirit renew our thoughts and attitudes, the plan is that we become more and more like Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, yes, he was. But late in his ministry, he said to his disciples, You are the light of the world. And then Paul in this passage is saying, we need to live as children of light. Let your light so shine that men will see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. Live as children of light. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let's pray together. Father, great God, great King, you are the light of the world. And we shudder and we shrink when we think that your master plan for reaching the world is to make us more and more like yourself until we become the light for the world to see. It's as if we become little Christs. Oh God, forgive us where we have erred and gone off into a dark place. Forgive us, show us clearly the path before us, the light. And may we be willing to say on a daily, on an hourly basis, Father, as you show the light to me, as my path becomes clear, I will walk in the light. I will, Father. God helping me, Spirit enabling me. We pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.